Christian.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So today we're focusing on the Tower of Babel, and then the verse says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered all over the face of the whole earth. That's Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. And this was a story of unity, but why was the unity a problem? The assumption is unity is a good thing. And we spoke about this a bit yesterday, but now we need to delve much into it, because when we are moving from the premise that unity is good, and yet God saw that this is not good, we need to understand what the problem was. Was the problem unity? Was it the purpose? Remember our conversation with the pastor yesterday went along those lines. So we're going to delve into that today. Pastor, what exactly was the problem in this story?
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I would like to say, with unity, you can do anything. You can do good things through unity. You can achieve even bad things through unity. I mean, with unity, you can do anything. So what I like, maybe let me start by appreciating the unity that is being portrayed by this this story of the construction of this tower. So they said to each other, let's build. I think the beginning of the discussion among these guys, I just want to imagine that they saw a lot of commonalities among them.
Yeah,
they saw that there's a commonality in language. There's a commonality in terms of, it's not only language. If you have read well, verse one, they had also one speech. You see now, it means they had a way of doing things which is similar to each other. So I appreciate that sense of unity, which we may need to emulate, especially when we do things for God. So the only problem, coming back to the question now, the only problem that I see is maybe the purpose of this unity, what they wanted to achieve. So they were united by this one agenda to fight God's plan.
Help me understand what you mean by that, to fight God's plan, because I don't see that there, but you may know better. How do you arrive at the conclusion that they were fighting God's plan? Their reasoning there is not because they want to fight God's plan. Let me read it up until 4. 1 up until 4 reads, chapter 11, by the way, Genesis chapter 11, it reads, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Verse 4, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that, and here's their reason, Pastor, so that we may make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Full stop, close quote. So their reason there, it's not necessarily to go against God's plan. That's not what they're saying. They're saying so that we can make a name for ourselves and so that we don't get scattered all over the earth. So how do you arrive at the conclusion, Pastor, that their reason was not what they're stating, but that they wanted to go against God's plan?
Okay, thank you. Actually, my concern is found in verse 4. The last part that you have read, among the reasons.
Yeah.
The last reason is, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
That's right.
The idea to scatter abroad was the idea of God. If you read from Genesis chapter 1, going down verse 26 to 28, when God created Adam and Eve, he said, multiply and replenish the earth.
Yes.
So the idea of spreading and replenishing the earth was the idea of God, even after the flood. God wanted people to spread around, so to occupy the earth.
That's a stretching of that interpretation, isn't it, Pastor? Because God said, be fruitful and replenish the earth. He does not speak about scattering, though. His reasons there are to replenish, to fill the earth, not to scatter. Yeah. Surely to fill the earth is not the same as to scatter. The definitions of those words are not synonymous one with the other.
Yes, so I'm getting your point there. God said, fill the earth.
Correct,
so
yes.
The idea of scattering around was the idea after this very same concept of replenishing the earth, filling the earth. So they wanted to build something that will avoid, that will attract people so that they may not spread and fill the earth. So I see that they were planning something that would draw people to live at the same place. So I don't see any adherence with the plan of God there.
I hear how you're extrapolating that point there, Pastor, but I need us to just explain how we arrive at the conclusion that to fill the earth is the same as to scatter people around. Because when you are filling something, you're not scattering. And when you're scattering, you're not filling. So if God's intention and God's plan was to fill and replenish the earth, it is not the same as to scatter. How do you arrive at the conclusion that to fill and replenish the earth also means to scatter people around?
Okay. Another verse that may help us reach this conclusion is verse 8,
chapter 1.
Chapter 11.
Oh, back in Genesis chapter 11.
Yeah, we are okay. In chapter 11.
Okay, and you want us to read verse 8?
It's verse 8.
Okay.
Yeah, it's verse 8.
Yeah, it reads, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city.
I like the fact that the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth.
Yeah.
The words might mean different, but the concept is the same.
Okay. Okay. So you're suggesting that God scattering there is filling the earth?
God scattered them in order to occupy, to fill the whole earth. You cannot fill without scattering.
With respect, Pastor, when you fill a cup, you're not scattering the water. When you pour into that cup, when you fill anything that needs to be filled, you pour into it, you're not scattering.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. But the concept there is, we only can fill, as far as we talk about human beings, we only can fill or populate. The other word is to populate the earth. So you can populate a village or a place by scattering.
But would you say if we have an area of 10 hectares, let me give an example, then you can give me guidance there, Pastor. If we have 10 hectares of land given to the village of the Mapurazi family, and you have 10 members of the Mapurazi family, and then you give them 1 hectare each, so all the 10 hectares are divided amongst the Mapurazi members of the family who are 10. Does it mean that the 10 hectares are full?
We divide 10 hectares among the Mapurazi family.
Yes. Is that land full?
No.
Because there's 10 heads of families that are occupying the 10 hectares of land. Is the 10 hectares of land now full of people? Has the land been filled?
Not really.
Hence my question there, Pastor. God's intention is to fill the earth, population growth, not population scattering.
Okay. The idea is not only about growing and scattering.
Okay.
It was occupation.
Yeah.
Because when people are gathered at the same point.
Okay.
a lot of things happen. I think in the idea of God,
okay.
He wanted to avoid some evil things that comes through the idea of being together, you know.
I thought togetherness was a good thing, Pastor. I thought that's what we're talking about, unity. Now there's a problem with being together.
I said unity can be abused. Unity can be used for good purposes.
Okay.
But
okay.
God saw the minds of these guys that they, you know, through unity.
Yeah.
They wanted to achieve something. They were actually abusing unity.
Okay.
So what I'm simply saying is that,
yeah,
like what I said, God said people should occupy the earth,
yes,
all the corners of the earth.
Yes.
So from those three descendants of Noah, Shem, Japheth, and Ham.
Yes.
The idea was to populate the whole earth.
Correct.
So they couldn't populate by simply gathering at the same point, because the tower was built mainly to maintain a name and also to make people stay there.
Yeah.
That's why they said, blessed will be scattered.
Yeah, yeah.
Who really wanted to scatter them? You get my point?
I'm trying to follow because chapter 11 doesn't tell us who they were afraid of, who was going to scatter them. I don't know if there's a way of determining that. Is there a way that you know that can help us determine who they were afraid of?
The text itself is quite suggestive.
Okay. Where does it suggest?
Yeah, it says, it's verse 4, lest we be scattered.
By whom?
It leaves a lot to be decided now.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
They say, lest we be scattered.
Yes. So it tells us that they are afraid of being scattered, but it doesn't tell us who they were afraid was going to scatter them.
So now that gives us the idea that they were afraid of someone who,
correct,
earlier on highlighted the idea in Genesis chapter 1.
But they were not there in Genesis chapter 1. They have no way of knowing.
History, my friend, history.
Okay.
They had history.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this happens, by the way, after Noah's situation. Am I not correct?
Yes, after Noah's situation, yes.
Yeah. So immediately after Noah's situation, we're introduced to these people who are building now this tower. So at the time, there was a unity that we saw that was exemplified and originated, architectured and engineered by God himself in chapter 10. Where God put everyone in one environment. He did not scatter them around. He put them in one environment called the ark. The
yes.
flood happened with them protected in the ark, with the animals in one place, not scattered. And so, if we're to talk about history, the history they know, it would stand to reason that the only history they would know is the history of their forefathers, which is Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then that history is a history of being in one place. It stands to reason if they're learning from history, they would build another place where they would still be in one place, just like Noah and his sons and wife and their wives were in one place. It defeats reason why we would arrive at the conclusion that something else, they were afraid of something else that would scatter them, and yet they knew that unity was what saved Noah and his children. Isn't it true, Pastor, that they knew, if we're going to use the conjecture of history, that they knew that their forefathers were saved by being in one place, and therefore it stands to reason that they must be in one place?
I like it. Yeah, we are limiting ourselves if we say they knew the history of our their immediate forefathers.
Okay. Okay.
History goes beyond our immediate forefathers. It goes beyond my father.
I agree.
It goes beyond my grandfather.
But did they know that history?
Yeah, the assumption really should tell us that it's natural that you should be acquainted with the history before the flood.
How would they know? Because it is generations, eons of years from Noah to the tower, the building of the Tower of Babel. So how would they know? Because there was no writing at the time. Oral history was the order of the day, not textual history. So where would they get the information from?
Oral is not limited to a few generations. It goes far and far and far. They could have got the information from Noah, and Noah could have got the information from Lamech.
Yes. Okay. So you're suggesting, Pastor, that the issue of their purposes was wrong.
Yes.
I'm wondering. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
I wanted to throw an idea that sometimes God requires people to be united.
Yes.
And sometimes,
yes.
I mean, unity has got dimensions. Okay. Being together does not mean unit.
Okay.
You can be together, but still divided.
Yeah.
You can be, scattered, but still united.
Yeah.
Like the idea of the disciples soon after the ascension of Jesus.
Yes.
God said, tarry in Jerusalem.
Yes.
But when the Spirit comes, you should now start to scatter and spread up until you reach the uttermost.
Yes.
So initially God wanted unity in terms of being together.
Yeah.
But now he wanted unity to be maintained at our hearts, but while people are still, scattering abroad.
Okay. All right. So when do we know that this unity now is wrong? I'm trying to put myself in the place of the guys who are building the tower. And again, I accept Mfundisa, I accept your postulation there that perhaps they knew the history going back to Adam. I have no problem with that. But as a finite thinker, because I'm mere mortal, as a finite thinker, I'm trying to think today. How would we know that building our skyscrapers is a bad thing? We have skyscrapers who I do believe scientifically would far surpass the building of the tower. Their tower would never have 130 floors like we have buildings that have 130 floors today. So if God did not like the unity then, and the unity was to build a tower that would reach the heights of heaven, why didn't God stop the building of the towers that we have today that are far surpassing those scientific extravaganzas then? Why didn't God destroy, here in Johannesburg, we have a high tower in the city center. It still stands today, Carlton Center. I'm wondering if Carlton Center was able to be built and God did not disturb the building of Carlton Center, and I'm just giving an example of what is happening within a stone's throw of where we are right now. What was the real issue there? Because we've seen many towers come up ever since the Tower of Babel, but God did not disturb it. What was the real reason there, Pastor?
Thank you for that. Obviously, from what you've said, that we are now reasoning as mortal people,
as
finite people. Mm. Yeah, so I would like to submit the fact that God saw that these people, number one, as I highlighted earlier, that they are against the idea of spreading and populating the earth.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, this is my thinking now. I think they were being influenced by the idea of the flood. These people, I think in their minds, they did not have faith in the sign that was given to their grandfather Noah. That if you use rainbow, it's a covenant I'm doing with you that I'll never bring floods again.
Yeah.
So I think they did not believe. It was a sign of disbelief. They did not believe God. They said, no, if God repeats his issue of bringing flood again, I think the water level will find us somewhere up in the sky. If we are going to be destroyed, we'll die together with God.
Sure. That's postulation there. I like the conjecture, though. I like the idea. But do we have a scriptural support for that thinking, Pastor?
Of course, we have not really scriptural support, but some commentaries like Patriarchs and Prophets.
Okay. Do you have a quote you could read for us from Patriarchs and Prophets that gives us a thinking? Again, Pastor, I want everyone who's listening to understand my thinking. We have the tallest building in the world stretching to heights of over 820, if not 830 meters above sea level. That's the Burj Khalifa. I'm wondering, okay, if the Burj Khalifa can have that high of a tower. And then we have the Wari San Merdek from the Middle East right to Shanghai. We have the Shanghai Tower, which was 632. Okay. I mean, it goes on. The numbers just are staggering. And I don't know how high the Tower of Babel was when God decided to tear it down. Surely we know that all those places have got different faiths and they don't believe in the same God that we believe in. In Shanghai, for example, we know for a fact that the biggest religion there is Buddhism. It is not Christianity. Yeah. It is not Islam. It is not Judaism. It's not any of the Abrahamic faiths. There are polytheists there. And so the building of the Shanghai Tower was not built by Christians. The same applies with the Burj Khalifa. The building of the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, it was not built by people who believe in God as we believe. Perhaps because they are probably Muslim there, they may believe in Allah, who is what they believe is the father of Abraham. But still, I'm trying to establish our thinking. Where in Patriarchs and Prophets can we get this insight to help us understand, Pastor?
Okay, it's okay. Maybe before we open that,
okay,
we can consider Genesis chapter 11 again.
Okay. Chapter 11, verse 6 reads,
we go to the prophet. Yes,
that's all right. Says, the Lord said,
you can proceed.
Oh, okay. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them.
You see, now I'm coming back to your answer, which you've highlighted yesterday.
Yeah.
You corrected me, actually. You said, indeed, the verse is saying nothing will be restrained from them, which
yes,
they have imagined to do.
Yeah.
And what was their purpose? Their purpose, number one, they wanted to build a tower whose top may reach unto heaven.
Yes.
That was their what? Their purpose.
Yeah.
But we don't know the purpose of those who built those towers which we were highlighting.
Yes, yes.
Maybe they wanted to build towers for different purposes, which might not be against God's idea.
So was God against the building of a tower that will reach heaven?
No, God was not against the building of the tower, but God was against the purpose, the idea behind the building of the tower.
Mm.
I think that's why he visited it.
Mm.
And actually, the pace they were moving with, I would like to submit my appreciation to these people. You know, as Christians, usually we fail to make things that may attract God's attention.
Yeah.
But these people, by doing something which is against God, God actually came down to visit them. Which is something else to me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So as we conclude, Pastor, as people living in the 21st century, the year 2023, how can we distinguish good motives of unity from bad motives of unity, so that we don't find ourselves doing things and God disturbs our language?
Okay, thank you. Maybe as we have highlighted yesterday about the definition, unity simply means togetherness.
Yeah.
Something that brings you together, that unites you, should be in line with the dictates of the word of God.
Okay.
It should be supported.
Yeah.
And also the results, you should be able to foresee the results. These results, though are done well, are they going to bring us?
Pastor, are you still there? Have we lost the pastor? Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay. So you got cut there while you were still speaking. Say that again kindly, Pastor.
Okay, I wanted to say what brings us together should be sanctioned by the word of God.
Okay.
The idea, the purpose of our unity should be supported by God himself. And we should also be able to see the result of what we want to make, no matter how united we are, we should see the result. Like in this case, the result was to glorify their name through the, not the name of the Lord.
Okay.
They said, let us make a name
for
most
ourselves.
The things were built to glorify people's names.
Yeah.
Most of them were achieved through unity, but to glorify names of certain individuals instead of God.
Yeah.
So I think that should mark the distinction.
I hear you. Just to put it out there, and I'm saying this so that everyone understands where my thinking is, and then perhaps we can pick this conversation up at another time. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai is 828 meters high. The Merdeka is 678 meters high. The Shanghai Tower is 632 meters high. The Abraj Al Bayt is 601 meters high. The Ping An Finance Center is 599.1 meters. So all these are buildings which I suspect, and I could be wrong, I suspect they were meant to praise other gods faster, not to praise the one true God. I suspect, but I do appreciate one thing, and I pray to God, Pastor, that we don't find ourselves stuck in this problem, the problem of doing things for our own glory. Perhaps we should walk away with the lesson that you're teaching us, that it should always be for God's glory. And for that point, I thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate you coming through to talk to us about that.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
All right. That is our pastor, Mapurazi, talking to us about the Tower of Babel, something that we contended about yesterday. And today he's clarifying and educating us. And that shows who's the pastor. Thank you very much, Pastor. Really appreciate you coming through. We'll take a break and come back. And when we come back, we will focus now our attention on, we're now talking about the great controversy.
Do you have questions from the Bible? Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.